The Johnson YX program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Love Is.
I wish my floors could be as beautiful as Mrs. Clark's, as rich-looking.
Pardon me, madam, but your floors can be as beautiful as anybody's if you'll polish them regularly with genuine Johnson's wax. I know, because I've watched many floors that look dull and lifeless become gleaming, beautiful floors under the magic touch of Johnson's paste or liquid wax. In fact, they seem to take on more beauty with every waxing. And, of course, the tough coat of wax protects the finish against scratches, stains, and wear, and cuts housework way down, because dust and dirt cannot cling to a smooth, waxed surface. And did you know that smart housekeepers have discovered over 100 extra uses for genuine Johnson's wax? They wax windowsills, furniture, picture frames, woodwork, Venetian blinds, leather goods. Well, you'll find these 100 extra uses listed right on the Johnson's wax package. And before I forget, you can now buy Johnson's wax in three forms, the familiar paste and liquid form, plus the new cream wax, especially formulated for furniture and woodwork. Last week, a quarantine of measles bottled up the cream of Wistful Vista Society in the McGee home. During the week that has just passed, the cream has soured considerably. And here at 79 Wistful Vista, just one big unhappy family, we find a number of unwilling guests and Fibber McGee and Molly.
Wait a minute, Gildersleeve. The doctor hasn't given permission to anybody to leave yet.
Well, by George, I'm leaving anyway. My business is going to rack and ruin while I...
Take your hand off of that doorknob, Mr. Gildersleeve, or you'll regret it. We'll all regret it.
I won't do it. I've been cooped up here for a week, and I'm going to leave right now.
Don't you dare open that door, Gildersleeve.
I will, too.
Gotta straighten out that closet one of these days.
Why didn't you tell me this was a closet, McGee?
Say, you've been here a week, you should have known.
Yeah.
Besides, I don't know why you're worried about your old factory. Your wife is taking charge of the Gildersleeve Girdle Company.
Oh, what do women know about girdles?
Plenty, if they got the proper foundation. And background.
Oh, Mr. McGee, when are we going to get out of this horrible house?
Oh,
so this house is horrible, is it? Now, you listen to me, Abigail Uppington.
Yeah.
I don't mind your sleeping in my bed or using my vanishing cream and my bobby pins. But when you say this is a horrible house, I agree with you. I've never spent such a week in my life.
Life? Has this only been one life?
But when can we leave, Mr. McGee? Surely they can't legally keep us chained up here like wild beasts.
Yes, when... who's a wild beast?
If the fur fits, wear it, Gildersleeve.
I'm sure it can't be much longer, Mrs. Uppington. We're just as anxious to have you leave as you are to go. McGee, may I have a private word with you, dearie?
Why, sure. You mind if we have a minute alone, folks?
If by alone you mean without me, McGee, you can have 3,000 years of it.
Oh.
Come on, Abigail. Let's go and sneer at their photograph album again.
What's the matter, Molly?
Look, We've all been getting in each other's hair here for a solid week, and the doctor hasn't been back once.
I know, but he called me up right after he left, though. That night we got quarantined.
Well, what'd he say?
I can't remember. It was some big medical word. You know how doctors are.
Heavenly days. If they quarantined doctors, too, they wouldn't be so anxious to keep people locked up like this. Where is everybody, dearie?
Oh, they're down in the basement. Boomer and Wilcox and the old-timer got a poker game going.
Oh, they have they?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't enough that I was running a boarding house in the hospital. Now I got a gambling joint on my hands.
Oh, Molly, they're not doing any harm.
Just the same, I'm not going to have my home turned into any Monte Cristo.
You mean Monte Carlo. Monte Cristo was a count.
Well, then he should have had more manners than to turn somebody's home into a gambling joint.
He didn't gamble. He was just a guy in a book.
Oh, he ran a book, too. Well, that's all I wanted to know. You go in and see how the little girl is getting along, McGee.
Okay.
And if you hear a riot downstairs, that's me breaking up the poker game.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, Mrs. Chips.
Hi, Mr. McGee.
Hi there, sis. How's everything? You got enough blankets? Or too many? Is the window open enough? Or too much? Is it too light in here? Or too dark?
Yes.
Huh?
Hey, will you tell me a story, Mr. McGee? Will you please? Will you?
No, okay, but now you stay tucked in bed there. I don't want you to catch cold. Now, what story you want me to tell you?
Goldilocks, I bet you.
Goldilocks, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful little girl named Goldilocks, and one day she started to take her grandmother a basket of delicious pies and cakes and sandwiches.
I'm hungry.
Huh?
I'm hungry. Can I please have something to eat, Mr. McGee, please?
Oh, I guess so, sis. How about an apple? Make you nice and strong to eat apples.
Do you like Superman, hmm?
Yeah.
Hey, will you get the paper and read me about Superman, Mr. McGee?
Oh, for the... Okay, okay. Anything to please. Here's the paper. Let's see where... Oh, here it is. Oh. Today, Superman is fighting for his life among the gangs that have mushroomed up in...
Have what, mister?
Mushroomed.
I'm hungry.
Look, will you make up your mind? First you want a story, and then you want something to eat. Now, which will it be?
A story.
Okay. Shall I tell you about the Pied Piper of Hamelin?
Who's he?
Well, he was a guy who got rid of all the rats by playing his flute.
Oh, gee, I love flute. Stewed flute and flute jello and...
That's fruit. And we haven't got any. And furthermore, if I detect him...
I like detectives, too. Will you please read me about Dick Tracy?
I thought you wanted something to eat.
I know it.
Well...
That's why I want you to read me about Dick Tracy. I'd just eat that up, I bet you.
Well, all right. Well, it says here that Dick Tracy is on the trail of a crook that's just taken it on the lamb.
On the what?
Lamb.
I'm hungry.
I don't care how hungry you are, Dad Raddick. You're going to get Dick Tracy and like it. Oh, no. Wait a minute, sis. I'm sorry. I guess I'm just kind of on edge.
Yeah.
After all this quarantine. Excuse me for hollering at you, will you?
Okay, mister.
Oh, thanks. No idea. Big bloke like me shouting at a little kid like you.
Yeah.
Sick with the measles. I ought to be ashamed.
I sure you had, I bet you.
Well, I am. Now, which do you want, honey? A story or something to eat?
A story.
Fine. And just so as I won't arouse any gastronomic yearnings in your little corpus delicti, I'll try and tell you one that ain't connected in any way with something to eat.
Hi.
Now, here we go. Little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating his Christmas... Once upon a time, there was a boy named Jack who lived with his poor old mother. And one day, he went to town and sold the cow, and all he got for it was a handful of... Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet eating... Simple Simon met a pot. Mary had a little... Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Cinderella. Aha, now I got it. And one day, a fairy princess came to her and said she could go to the ball. And Cinderella said, yes, but how will I get there?
Yeah, and the fairy princess made her a coach out of a big, juicy pumpkin.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Thank you.
you look here, Nick DePopulos. Be reasonable, will you? Shucks, I didn't impose this quarantine, and I don't...
But for scrim sex, Fizzer, I'm asking you once and for always, and my bended elbows with tears in my face. How long can this quarantine last?
Well...
I'm getting so I hate everybody around here, including me, which I don't like, because I was always admired me very much, if you can understand that, and if not, I hate you, too.
Well, believe me, Nick, I'm sorry. I wouldn't have had this happen for the world, but it did, and we got to make the best of it. Can't you amuse yourself anyway? Can't you...
Such as, for instance, what?
Well, do some crossword puzzles.
No, sir. No crossword puzzles for me, Fizzer. It's too much exercise, I'm thinking.
What do you mean? There isn't any exercise to working crossword puzzles.
Oh, sure there is.
Huh?
First you lay down on the floor and do a word, then you're standing up and doing a word, then you're lying down and doing one.
But why?
Because that is what it is saying to do.
Huh?
Horizontal, perpendicular, horizontal, perpendicular. up and down, all day long. That's being any way to do a puzzle. I've got a crossword for it that will make your hair stand on its hind feet. If I don't get out of here before long, I'll be Talos if it's about it.
Well, I know it takes all kinds of people to make a world, but sometimes I think they went to extremes.
Ah, there you are, McGee. I've looked all over the house, and I can't find anybody.
No, and if I'd have seen you coming, you wouldn't have found me. Are you getting as tired of me as I am of you, Gildersleeve?
At least, McGee. Mm. As soon as this quarantine is lifted, if it ever is, I'm going to move to San Francisco or someplace. I never want to see your face again.
That's funny. That's exactly the way I feel about you. I'm getting so I detest you.
I know. I despise you, too. It's a good thing we're friends, chum, or this would end up in hard feelings.
I'll say so. It's nice we can hate each other in a sort of a chummy sort of a way.
Yes, indeed. But where is everybody, McGee? By George, if you kept me here and let the rest of them go home, I'll...
Now, don't get your teeth in a turmoil, Gildersleeve. Everybody's down in the basement.
What for?
Well, they had a poker game going down there, but Molly went down to bust it up. She's probably got them all locked in the coal bin by now. Come on, let's go down.
Yeah, all right, McGee.
How many cards for you, Glowcoat?
Three, Boomer.
Give me two, Horatio.
Two for me, too.
Here you are, my little Toscanini. How many for you?
None. I'm standing pat.
Well, Mrs. Uppington, you opened. What are you doing?
The membership fee for this round will be three blue ones.
Come in there.
Say, do you mind if I put in five more? I seem to have so many.
I'm out.
See you, daughter. I don't think you got them.
Mr. Boomer?
Sorry, my dear, I'm out. I'm shy two feathers on a bobtail flock.
I'm going to call you, Miss McGee.
But why? I'm right here.
Oh, no, I mean, let's see your cards.
Oh, sure. But they don't amount to anything, really. I was bluffing. All I got is a five spot and four ones.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my. Is that good?
Hey, what's going on here? I thought you were going to bust up this game, Molly.
Believe me, she did, Skee-Ball.
Huh?
You've heard about the chicken in every pot. Well, she's the chicken.
Isn't it wonderful, dearie? Look at all the pretty chips I've won. I'm going to punch holes through them and string them together for a necklace.
No. Don't do that. Cash them in. They're worth money.
Don't be silly. They were only worth $1.98 when we bought them. And I even doubt if the drugstore would take them back.
No.
Didn't anybody else win anything? How about you, Wilcox? Did you lose?
Oh, I'm not hurt much. I just like to play. It's useful to me in my business.
Yeah. Why, how can that be, Mr. Wilcox?
I wish you hadn't asked that question, Uppy. It's just like waving a bull in front of a red rag.
Well, I've always had a suspicion that poker was invented by a salesman for Johnson's self-polishing blowcoat.
Now, you see what you've done, Uppy?
Well, explain yourself, Mr. Wilcox.
All right, look. Suppose a housewife has a full house, and somebody spills a tray on the kitchen linoleum.
Oh.
Does she raise the deuce?
Oh.
Not if she's got Johnson's self-polishing blowcoat on the floor. It's aces when it comes to protecting and beautifying linoleum. And it takes very little jack.
Oh.
And what's more, it puts old-fashioned floor scrubbing in the discard.
Oh.
Call your dealer today.
That's pretty good.
beard, Waxy. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to t'other feller, say. Any of you kids got a good joke to fill in here with?
Say, if you haven't got a joke, why did you start that thing?
Don't give me that, Johnny. I've heard you start a whole show without one. Hey, we gonna play any more rummy, kids?
Oh, Mr. Oldtimer, we haven't been playing rummy. We've been playing poker.
Hey, we have. No wonder I ain't been having any luck.
What I want to know is, when are we going to get out of here? Now, what did the doctor say, McGee?
Oh, you heard what the doctor said, Gildersleeve. Anyway, what are you squawking about? You ain't any worse off than the rest of us.
No, that's right.
Certainly not, dull, dark, and dumpy. Matter of fact, I'm thinking of starting suit against McGee for making me miss an important board meeting.
What do you mean, starting suit against me? What board meeting did you miss?
Show you in just a minute, Chisel Chin. Have the notice right here in my pocket. Notice. Had it here just a minute ago. Where did I put that notice?
I think I shall start suit myself for false imprisonment, malicious mischief, and sleeping on the ironing board.
Quiet, Abigail, my dear. I've been trying to find the notice, that meeting. Here's an income tax blank. Got me in the middle there. If I don't show the source of my income, I go to prison. If I do show it, I go to jail. Here's a Confederate $100 bill.
What good is a Confederate bill? You can't spend it.
I can spend this one, my boy. I was a Confederate in a bank robbery. Yes, indeed. Now, let me see. Here's a small package of sleeping powders.
Go on, that's a blackjack.
Don't be crude, Liberlip. Here's a postcard from Sheila the shoplifter. Says she tried to get away with an accordion, but it squealed on her. Letter from my brother, McClellan Boomer, the portrait painter, unfortunate fellow.
Oh, what happened to him, Mr. Boomer?
He sat down on his pallet. Poor lad. Yes, indeed. I always said he'd get caught with his paints down. A check for short beer. Well, imagine that. No notice of the board meeting.
What board meeting was it, Boomer?
The parole board, Scrimshank. Well, there wasn't much choice anyway. They're a measly bunch, too.
The King's Men sing, there's a tavern in the town.
I went strolling in the cold night air. I met Nellie with the flaxen hair. She was brokenhearted
and a tear was in her eye.
When I tried to comfort her, she gave me this reply. There is a tavern in the town, and there my true love sits him down where he can drink his wine mid laughter free, and never, never thinks of me. He left me for a damsel dark, on Tuesday night they always spark, and now my love, who once was true to me, takes that dark damsel on his knee.
Fare thee well,
for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting grieve thee. Just remember that the best of friends must part.
Adieu,
my friend, adieu.
Adieu.
I can no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
I'll hang my harp on a weeping willow tree.
And may
the world go well with thee.
Then she turned away and said no more.
Said no more.
But entered through the tavern door.
Tavern door, and from within there came loud voices, angry shouts. And then a pistol shot rang out.
I saw her through the open door.
Open door.
She held a smoking 44.
44, and at her feet her lover fell down dead. And here's the very word she said. Quote, fare thee well, for you must leave me. Nevermore will you deceive me. If you can't be true to me, then we must part.
Adieu,
my love, adieu. Yes, adieu. I can no longer stay with you. Stay with you. I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. And may the world go well with thee.
Boomer, Uppington, Gildersleeve, DePopulos, Wilcox, the old-timer, little girl. That's seven. Seven times five is 35, times seven is 245. Say, that ain't bad at all, Molly.
What are you talking about? What isn't bad?
Well, look, there's seven people here besides us. All of them eating and sleeping at our expense. So I figured if I charged them a nominal $5 a piece a day, that comes to $245 bucks a week.
Why, McGee, you can't charge them for staying here. They couldn't help it.
Well, Dad, rather I couldn't help it either.
Well, then it's even.
Okay, so it is even. So I'll split the difference and make it two and a half a day. That'll come to 100 to 100.
Oh, McGee, stop it. Why, that's taking advantage of people when they're helpless.
Well, shucks. That's the best time, ain't it?
Now, just the same, I won't let you do it now. We're all quarantined here together, and we just got to make the best of it.
Yeah, but think of the expense. We're going to have a grocery bill that'll make the defense program look like matching pennies. Why, when you stop to think
Pardon me. May I have a word with you, please?
Yes. Why, certainly, Mrs. Uppington. Do come in. What's the trouble?
Mrs. McGee, I demand to know how long we ought to be incarcerated here.
Now, you look here, Uppy. We don't like to be incapacitated here any more than you do. But a quarantine is a quarantine. You don't want the measles to spread all over town, do you? You don't want to start an epidermis, do you?
You mean hypodermic, McGee.
He means epidemic.
Well, then what's epidermis?
Epidermis refers to the skin.
That's what I says. You want a skin out of here and spread the measles all over town?
I wish to do no such thing, Mr. McGee, and I bitterly resent the insinuation. But I do demand, as an American citizen...
Let's see your papers.
Papers?
Yes, your citizenship papers.
Why, you speak as if I were an ordinary immigrant.
Look, Uppy, the only Americans that ain't immigrants, or descended from immigrants, are Indians. And you wouldn't know a teepee from a toupee. So don't give us that Mayflower malarkey.
I have never been so insulted in all my life.
You must have led a pretty sheltered life, Abigail. But I agree with you that we ought to find out
hey,
how long
Fribber,
this...
Hey, how long is this going on? How can I sell Johnson's wax when I'm locked up in here?
That's exactly what I wish to know, Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, yeah? Well, when did you start selling Johnson's wax, Uppy?
I did not claim to sell Johnson's
Say,
wax.
Say, for scream sakes, Fizzer, how long is it going to be until I can have a re-onion with my wife and kidneys?
What I want to know, Fibber.
Me too, I betcha.
No.
Oh, for goodness sakes, little girl. You get right back in bed then.
Yes, you'll catch your death of cold, sis.
I'm hungry.
Hey, now, looky here, Johnny. I've missed 5 rumble lessons since I've been here, and I want to get it going.
Well, what can we do?
Well, Mr. McGee, what do you propose to do about this situation?
I'll tell you what we're going to do, folks. I'm just as anxious as you are to know how long they quarantine for measles. I'm going to call the health department.
All right, dearie, here's the phone.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me the health department. Oh, is that you, Mert?
Oh, that's all.
How's every little thing, Mert? Yeah, we're quarantined. What's that, Mert? Your brother? Oh, the one that works in the airplane plant? Caught a spy, eh?
Heavenly days, how thrilling.
Oh, I don't know. He knocked over his lunch pail, spilled all the sandwiches, but he caught his pie. What say, Mert? Oh, no answer, eh? Okay, I'll try the Board of Trade.
Wait a minute, McGee. Look at this.
Huh? What's the matter with you, Gildersleeve?
Look what I found in the almanac.
What are you doing with the almanac?
Well, the only thing there is to read around here except Black Beauty and the Peoria High School Annual for 1911.
Well, what about the almanac, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, listen to this.
Huh?
It's an article on contagious diseases. And it says that quarantining for measles is obsolete.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, I remember now. That's what the doctor told me over the phone. It's obsolete and there's no getting around it.
Oh, good heavens. I believe the man doesn't know what the word obsolete means.
That I do, too. Obsolete means Oh, my gosh. I was thinking of absolute.
And Molly will be back in just a moment. Have you ever stopped to think how much more active life is today than, say, 25 years ago? Automobiles, movies, airplanes have certainly increased the tempo of living, until one of our big problems is how to find the time for all we want to do. Fortunately, scientists have given us many labor-saving devices and products. Take, for example, the care of floors. No longer do you have to scrub kitchen floors on your hands and knees to keep them clean. No, sir. Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat has certainly solved that problem. Saved women many, many hours of work. Glow Coat, in case you don't know it, needs no rubbing or buffing. It's the easiest to use of all floor polishes. You simply apply and let dry. Glow Coat polishes itself, giving beautiful floors with practically no work. Saves linoleum from wear, makes it last longer. But you surely know all these things by now, and I'll bet you use Johnson's self-polishing Glow Coat on your own floors. If not, try it.
Everybody gone, Molly?
Yes, they're gone. And a good riddance, too. Come on, let's go to bed, dear.
Okay.
Oh, McGee!
Dad, rat it, what you want, Gildersleeve?
My wife's gone away, and I can't get into the house.
Well, what do you want with us?
I'm hungry.
Oh. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
Hello, George. Say, that's the most work I've seen you do in months.
Oh, this ain't work, Miss Brown. No siree. Polishing a car with this here Johnson's Car New is an easy job now. Just massage it on kind of gentle, let it dry, and wipe it off. Didn't that little old car shine just as pretty?
Yes, sir, folks. If you haven't used Johnson's Car New on your car, take my tip and buy a can this week. It really cleans and wax polishes in one operation in half the time it used to take. Remember the name, C-A-R-N-U. Johnson's Car New. This is the National Broadcasting Company.